Welcome back into Sports Talk here on WWL. Happy to welcome in now to the Radio Huddle, Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com. Glenn, how you been doing, man? I know it's been a wild one today.
Yeah, it certainly has, but wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, this is a pretty landmark day for LSU, for LSU basketball, and a pretty unique one as well.
Pretty fitting, I guess, of course, when you step away from your office computer, the news, you know, seems to come out and starts flooding your phone. I always happen to get a wheel alignment today when all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up with the news about Will Wade. We've kind of been speculating about this. It felt like it was building up to this moment. But overall now, you know, just impressions of LSU being able to pull this off. You know, just gone after a stint here for a little bit where he had success with the program. Obviously, some infractions came about that led to his dismissal. He ends up going to McNeese State for a while, NC State for 1 year, and now Will Wade is back at LSU. A complete wild turn of events completely, but a guy that's coming into a program here that brings a lot of hope to a basketball program that's been hurting.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, this is, I know I mentioned the word unique. This is as unique of a situation as I think, LSU's been in for a while from a coaching search perspective. I don't know that they've ever hired a coach that they've previously fired and or rehired a coach that they've previously fired, certainly not for cause. And so, this is a story really of just a coach that had, so many great ties to this state and to this university. And, I think this is something that really has been kind of in the works and in a slow kind of way for probably about a year now, when you talk about LSU and, them trying to potentially bring him back last year. And that was, kind of nixed by the then athletic director, Scott Woodward. Within the last several months, they've added obviously several powerhouse, confidants of Will Wade's, whether it be Wade Roos, the president who was at McNeese, Lee Mallett, who was obviously a very successful businessman out in that Southwest Louisiana area in Lake Charles, and he's now the LSU Board of Supervisors chairman, and now here most recently with Heath Schroyer, the athletic director for McNeese, when the guy who hired Will Wade is now taking on a role within the athletic department as well. And so all these stars were starting to align here, but I think really the Schroyer one is what kind of pushed this one over the top. LSU was always going to make a run, I think, at Will Wade, but a big piece of it, I think, was having some loyalty and some people that are in the athletic department that, are going to back him and help give him everything that he needs to run a successful program here. And LSU's gone out and done that. And at that point, it was just, really, I think in Wade's statement, he described it best. He's just it's a family. It's coming home. And there's just a lot of really formidable people that are in his life that are now at LSU. And so I think that's why the stars have aligned to where we are today.
I think it's a great point about Heath Schroyer. Glenn, when we were talking with Bill Armstrong, the McNeese head basketball coach, right before their debut in this year's tournament against Vanderbilt, he almost unprompted brought up Heath Schroyer and basically called him a superstar as an athletic director out of McNeese, and how, I guess, critical he was to building that success with Coach Wade and then with Coach Armstrong as well once Coach Wade went to NC State. But bringing him on to be, I think the title that John Rothstein from CBS Sports had put out there was like senior deputy athletic director. You can imagine what his role is going to be with that basketball program. His background as a basketball coach, when we were talking with Coach Scott Spinelli about him, he had a ton of respect for how he started out as a coach and then went to the administrative aspect of things, and how he really understands, how coaches operate, getting the right guys in place as well. Just your thoughts on that hire, because obviously a ton of the focus has been on Wade, but Wade wasn't going to come here without Schroyer coming here. So them being able to lock that down as well was critical.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think probably the element here that you're going to have to really watch with Schroyer is just how much funding that he's able to raise and help this program raise. I think that's something that he's going to be very keen on doing and helping this basketball program, build the kind of NIL, financial commitment that they really need to get this program, back to a consistent NCAA tournament program. And so he's going to be extremely vital. I mean, like the relationship that Schroyer and Wade have and what they built there in that 2-year stint at McNeese really is quite remarkable. I mean, they think they lost maybe one or two conference games the entire 2 years that Wade was there. They obviously went to back-to-back NCAA tournaments. They won a tournament game. I think that relationship is going to be crucial to having long-term success here with the men's basketball program. So, but this is a big deal. I mean, like this is a huge hire for LSU to pull off. If you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I probably wouldn't have thought that this had much legs, but LSU's really kind of upped the intensity here over the last week to 10 days. And I think once we kind of got wind that Schroyer was going to start moving in place here at LSU, you could start connecting the dots here to making a compelling pitch to Will Wade. And it's obviously one he was willing to listen to and jumped on the opportunity to do.
There's always stuff that works a little bit behind the scenes, Glenn, but if you listen to how Will Wade was talking, I was right there with you. We had reporters that were coming on saying it's not out of the question, but the way he was talking about NC State, especially after they lost to Texas, now this was going to be his worst team here, and it just felt like, he never said that he was going to leave NC State or anything like that, that he left the door open. But at the same time, he was making a lot of statements that felt very strongly in the camp that he was going to be staying there. So I think a lot of this did happen very recently, and it was more of kind of the past week or so. All the reports are that Tuesday was really the starting point for when Coach Wade had met with NC State officials and basically decided, hey, I'm going to end up going back to Baton Rouge. So it's a very quick-moving process as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's an element of truth to that. I also think, though, that there were probably some conversations had behind closed doors, whether it was directly with Wade or with Wade's representation of, people that are standing here at LSU and that want this to happen and have wanted this to happen for quite some time. Listen, Will Wade is a beloved figure here. I mean, like, he just really is. I mean, there is a large portion of this fan base that is going to be immediately rebought into this program with this hire. And I don't think LSU makes this move without, for any other coach other than Will Wade, to be quite honest with you. Like, if they were going to tear down the program to bring in another Group of Five head coach or a up-and-coming assistant, that this is just, I don't think there was going to be an appetite to do that. But for Will Wade, they were able to get obviously enough of the donor base and enough buy-in from that perspective to get this thing over the hump. And then of course with the fan base reaction too, you're going to see whenever they have that introductory, or I guess I should say reintroductory, press conference for Will Wade, it's going to be very highly attended, and I would imagine that they do it in a very public forum to get as many LSU fans in there as possible. That would be my guess.
Well, after this major news today, also going on, spring football for LSU, second practice under new head coach Lane Kiffin. What would you say were the highlights from today's session, I guess?
Yeah, I think we've seen a pretty consistent offense in terms of grouping. I mean, look, we've been getting 25 minutes of individual drills. They do one little hurry-up drill at the beginning of practice where it's kind of the 11 formations there on offense and defense. And, I think one of the consistent things has been Landon Clark has been their first team quarterback. That's been interesting. They've been kind of moving some pieces around on the defensive line and the offensive line, but today we got out there and two true freshmen, Deuce Gerald and Richard Anderson, were the two interior defensive linemen on that hurry-up drill. So, look, I think those are guys that LSU signed in this last class, that the defensive line haul that they just had in the 2026 class is going to be one that I think they want to build a lot of the future of this defense around. And so those two guys getting those opportunities this early in their career is certainly a major positive sign there. But look, I mean, we can only see so much. I mean, Whit Weeks is still out with an injury right now. He talked to us today in player interviews that he thinks by the end of spring, he should be able to start doing some football activities. But they're pretty healthy outside of that, and I think that they have a pretty good idea of how they want to handle this spring as well. I think a big part of it's going to be this offensive installation, because so many of these pieces are new. They really only have two guys that are innately familiar with Lane Kiffin's system, and so I think a big part of this is going to be, now that they have some on-field instruction time with the coaches, to make sure that they have some of this this offense, down pat, and that a lot of these guys are on the same page going into the summer.
Glenn, I know you guys also got a chance to talk with offensive lineman Jordan Seaton. Just curious, your initial impressions of getting to speak with the young man.
Yeah, very, very nice, very, very humble, very collected young man, a guy that I think understands the opportunity that's out in front of him here. He's shaved down, I think, 10 to 15 pounds of weight here over the last couple months since arriving. But he's somebody that I think is very aware that, if he goes out there, has a great season, LSU's offense has a great season, that he could very well be in that top 10 to 15 range as an NFL draft prospect next year. So very professional. I think a guy that you're going to see lead this offensive line alongside Braylon Moore, that's something that they really need, is just some leaders up front with that group, because there are so many new faces that they're going to be, mixing in and out. And I think Seton and Braylon Moore are probably the two guys you could probably write in pen right now as starters on that group. So he's taking a leadership role with this team, and I think he's going to probably be one of the more impactful pieces on this team in terms of it having success this fall.
It kind of made the waves a little bit, Glenn, but when, Coach Kiffin was talking about the quote-unquote ultra-elite players, right, on this roster, Seton was one that he had mentioned. Also, Ty Benefield, the safety from Boise State that they brought in the portal. But, man, you could just hear him gush about Tre'Davious Green, the tight end.
Yeah.
And really, one of the interesting aspects of it was that he brought up the fact that Tre'Davious is a returning piece, and that obviously Seton and Benefield are new players there. But you could just imagine what Lane Kiffin is cooking up this offseason to use Tre'Davious Green, this mismatched nightmare, a 6'7" tight end that you can line him up all over the field and say good luck to whatever cornerback or safety has to end up covering him. I think it's going to be a really, really fun season to watch and see how he develops in Lane Kiffin's offense.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we actually had a chance to talk to Tre'Davious again today, and just kind of highlighting some of the early spring thoughts that he has. And look, he told us today he has a chip on his shoulder. Like, he thinks he was a little bit overlooked, a little bit underused in last year's offense. And I think that's probably a common theme for a lot of these guys that are back in this year's offense, compared to last year with, having such a down year offensively. But he's somebody that I think has immense, immense potential in this offense and the way that they utilize the tight end. He's somebody that you can split out wide. He's somebody you can slip in the slot. I think one of the things he's talked about with us today and what Kiffin's talked about is, he's really working from a physicality standpoint to be more of an inline player as well, and being able to handle himself a little bit more consistently as a blocker, and that what that can potentially open up for him on third down and in goal line situations and red zone situations. So I think he's going to be probably the most targeted player on this offense, in my opinion, in the passing game. I think that they're going to draw up a lot of opportunities for him to have success, and I think he's in for a really, really monster year.
And Glenn, the LSU baseball team, the defending champs, are 17-9 overall right now, but just 2-4 in SEC play. They got Kentucky this weekend. What are you hoping to see from Jay Johnson's squad in this bout against the Wildcats?
Yeah, I think for me personally, just some consistency at the plate is something that they're still working on. I thought they had a nice midweek game against Louisiana Tech, where they took advantage of a lot of the Louisiana Tech mistakes they made on the mound. But I think that this pitching staff, certainly a couple of questions that they have to answer now with Cooper Moore being out here for the short term. But outside of that, I think offensively is probably the biggest thing that they just really have to get locked down and find some more consistency at the plate. They've been rotating a lot of guys in and out of the lineup, and I know that Jay wants to find some consistency there in the infield. They want to find some guys that can consistently get on base, hit doubles, draw walks, That's a big thing for them offensively as they move forward here. But I think that they're a team still trying to find their identity right now. And you know, a weekend like this with another top team coming into the in the conference is a great opportunity to try to find your footing and get back on track here, because they really can't afford to dig themselves in much more of a deeper hole, because they do have a pretty hefty gauntlet coming up here after the Kentucky series.
Glenn, appreciate the time, man. I'm wondering, does Go247.com be able to handle the traffic covering the hottest program, the hottest school in college sports?
Listen, we're doing our best right now. I got to tell you, our message boards are blowing up, and we're doing as good of a job as we can. But, no, I appreciate you guys for having me on, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you, Glenn. Glenn West, senior writer over at Go247.com. You can check out all his work there. Everything LSU.